for CJLO, the Jello radio station, where electric ladies get down with the acid and the Kool-Aid and cover themselves in lovely, lovely Jello.
For CJLO News, I'm Serena Abuljud. On Friday, September 6, protester Samar Al-Khdour was issued a warrant for her arrest after yelling at Federal Immigration Minister Mark Miller when she saw him leave his office. Al-Khdour refused the conditions of her arrest, turned herself in on Monday, and appeared in court on Tuesday. She, along with two other protesters, were arrested and charged with criminal harassment as well as mischief. Al-Khdour had been organizing regular sit-ins outside of Miller's office in Verdun since March, calling on the federal government to improve its visa program for family members of Canadian Palestinians who are still in Gaza. In January 2024, Al-Khdour's 13-year-old daughter, Jenna, who suffered from cerebral palsy and was trapped in Gaza, received the green light from the Canadian government to join her family in Quebec, 2 weeks after she died of malnutrition caused by Israel's siege on Gaza. Al-Khdour agreed to stay 50 meters away from Miller and his staff and to refrain from speaking publicly about the case. However, she said she will continue to demonstrate outside his office. On Thursday, September 12, Concordia and McGill students rallied in front of McGill's Arts Building, calling on both universities' administrations to divest from companies with ties to Israel. Students marched from McGill to Concordia, stopping inside the EV building first, then making their way to the Hall Building, where they formed an occupation. Protesters hung banners that said, "You repress the students, this is how we respond, long live the student intifada." The cops were called on campus as soon as protesters went up the floors. They finished off outside Hall and dispersed in pairs. On Sunday, citizens and rights group assembled outside the Jewish General Hospital to protest against Bill 96. This comes after a recent government directive that aimed to control the use of languages other than French in healthcare settings. The directive stated that only individuals with English language education certificates could communicate exclusively in English with the healthcare and social services system. This also applies to those who only spoke English with healthcare facilities prior to May 13, 2021. The backlash caused by this directive led to a new improvement. Last Thursday, Quebec's National Assembly passed a new motion affirming that Anglophones won't need the certificate to get treated in their mother tongue. That being said, the original directive will remain in force until a new one is rewritten. Protesters hope it will be dropped entirely. For more, follow CJLO News on Spotify.
Hello, good evening. You're listening to Psychic Ceremony here on CJLO 1690 AM. My name is Josh. Super excited for the episode today. Have a very cool interview that was done by my frequent collaborator, Owen Cole, yesterday. He went on a bit of a journey to Toronto in the car with the band Chanel Beads and captured an exclusive interview with them. So I'm very, very excited for that. Chanel Beads was in town playing a show at Lescogriff on Saturday with support from Cassie Kroot and Can't Believe. And they're touring, released a new album in April. Anyway, super excited to play this interview. It's going to take up most of the show. Very excited for this one. Going to cut to it in just a sec. This track I'm speaking out over right now is Reflections by Toronto's Marcus Visionary. Jungle Legend has been putting out drum and bass tracks for 30 years at this point, and this is a new EP, the Reflections EP, that just came out on his label Inner City Dance. Anyway, I'm gonna go to our interview right now, so sit tight, and thank you for listening. As always, this is Chanel Beads here on Psychic Ceremony, exclusive interview.
All right, I am here in the car with Shane and Maya from Chanel Beads. We're going to just be chatting to Shane right now as Maya drives us off to Toronto. Last night, Chanel Beads played a show at Esco, put on by Good Shows, with Can't Believe and Cassie Krutt opening. It was a really, really great show, and we're headed to Toronto now, and I'm really excited to have them on the show. Thanks for coming on and doing this interview.
Yeah, it's nice to be on radio.
I first met you guys, it was 2 years ago in the summer. You were subletting a place in Montreal for a month, and we kind of connected at dance events and in the dance scene. And I knew that you were kind of working on music and putting out some singles in the months after I saw on Instagram. And I finally got around to them maybe about a year later, and I was just blown away. And I've been a huge fan ever since. And I think the new album's like incredible. I'm really, really stoked you guys are playing so many shows and that the album's getting some love. It's definitely one of my favorites of the year. And yeah, I'm just thrilled to see things going really well for you guys. I kind of wanted to like talk about your time in Montreal, because you told me that True Altruism and Ache were partially recorded at Studio 365, which is a space that lots of listeners of the show, I'm sure, have been to or practiced at, myself included. What was your time in Montreal like?
Yeah, we kind of came here like on a whim, just to kind of escape New York for a second and see something else. And we thought we'd be a lot more productive with music, but recording Chanel Beads, like I have a pretty mobile setup. Like I just need my computer and like a microphone. But it gets a little hard to like try to make a whole song or like really like get the whole thing down with just your headphones. After a while, it kind of drives you insane. So yeah, I remember like trying to be really productive in Montreal, and it was like a hot summer, I remember. And so I looked for like cheap studios and went to, what is it called?
Studio 365.
365. And I remember having to like, I kept booking it like right when they opened. So I'd be the only one there.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the name of the guy working there, but he was really cool.
He's a character for sure.
Yeah. He was like, I think he was smoking like at the desk.
Yeah.
And I'd have to turn the AC off to like, because it was so loud and it barely worked. So I remember like, yeah, just trying to like practice screaming or just like getting an energetic vocal at like,
for sure,
kind of hungover at like 10 in the morning, but it's like already boiling hot in the room.
I think that like True Altruism might be your screamiest track on record, at least.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I gotta start screaming more in the recordings, I think.
Yeah, but the screaming at the shows is awesome, and I think it works really well. It kind of puts these songs into a new context, gives them a new vibe.
Yeah, I feel like we were talking earlier about, to me, there's a sentiment in a lot of the music that feels very like, I put a lot of my own like fear into the music, but a lot of people like think the music's, to them it's pretty chill stuff. So I don't know, I feel like there's a big gap in what I think I'm doing and what people are taking from it.
For
and
sure.
Maybe the show kind of closes that gap a little bit.
I think it does. We're going to take a little break, and I'm going to play some ads, and I'm going to play True Altruism and Ache for you guys, and we'll be right back.
Montreal, get ready for the event of the season. On September 27th, Over the Rainbow is coming to Pop Montreal. But what's a ball, you ask? A ball is a vibrant celebration of identity and self-expression, rooted in the LGBTQ+ Black and Latinx communities of 1970s New York. Walkers compete in categories like runway, realness, face, and performance, bringing their fiercest looks and moves to the floor. Now, Over the Rainbow is your chance to witness this incredible culture right here in Montreal. With DJ Cherry on the decks and Broadway keeping the energy high as your commentator, it's gonna be a night to remember. It's all happening at the historic Rialto Theater, 5723 Park Avenue. Doors open at 7:30 p.m. Whether you're voguing, spectating, or just there to celebrate, this is your night to shine. Get your tickets now at popmontreal.com. Over the Rainbow, September 27th. Don't miss out on one of the most exciting nights of the year.
Are you sick and tired of trying to burn plastic straws on the beach in order to start a fire? Do you start crying whenever your father tries to talk to you about Martin Rosen's 1978 film Watership Down? Then come on down to Union Farm. We play music ranging from everything to ballet funk, to atmospheric black metal, to neoclassical dark wave, to industrial ambient, and even to chart-topping hits. And remember to leave your kids at home, they're really annoying. Union Farm. Every Thursday at 10 p.m. right here on CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal.
This is Shane from Chanel Beads. You're listening to CJLO.
Alright, and we are back in the car with Shane from Chanel Beads, just having a conversation about music, the new record, and process. I've been really interested in kind of like reading about and understanding kind of just your approach to making music. And I think this new record really cultivates something interesting. You spoke recently in another interview kind of about how like the Chanel Beads project is really all about like decontextualizing and recontextualizing things through this kind of like digital lens. And this album is like littered with strings and samples of acoustic instruments. But at its core, it's really computer music that's made on MIDI tracks and just like at home and on a laptop. And then when you take this out into the real world and play it on a stage and add in real strings, does it feel like the music's kind of being recontextualized as it goes along?
I think like the main like spark that I had that like made me kind of stoked on the direction I was heading was kind of like, rather than like taking stuff in a new context, it's kind of more like erasing all the context and I don't know, I was getting really frustrated, especially like, I mean, before we were talking, you joked that you thought when we met, you thought we were just DJs. Like I was kind of getting bored with this kind of like, everyone seemed to be like constantly reinventing themselves into like the electronic dance world or the ambient world or like rock music. Like there's a lot of like people who like I knew around like 2020 that like kind of like stopped playing guitar and started DJing and stuff, and I like I guess just like that kind of like neurotic self identifying tendency to like be like, what am I rock music or electronic music or like what world is this, like those, it started to get really boring to me to be like trying to like blend them in a way. And so the only way that I could like make music was just to kind of like ignore that like either of those structures existed or that like I cared about them.
It's really interesting too, because Chanel Beads music at its core isn't too far removed from like rock or popular music. When you listen to those songs, you hear guitars and you hear drums and there's vocals, but that's not what those actually are, right? Like lots of those guitars are just entirely MIDI.
I play a lot of acoustic guitar actually on the track, but okay. I mix it with like, I really like harpsichord sounds and stuff like that, and I like to play the guitar like, if you play like the quietest guitar as loud as you can, like strum it as hard as you can, there's like a really cool attack sound to it that I really like. But also like, yeah, there's nothing, it's not like I try to be like secretive about like what the sound sources are, but like I think ultimately like it's supposed to be kind of like a confusing area of like what if what you're hearing is like a 10-piece orchestra or like a bow on a nylon or something. Yeah,
I really like that on the physical LP of the album. The hype sticker just plainly states every single instrument that's on the album, and including like the like Ableton kick, for example, or whatever you used on a certain song. I really like that you kind of like are doing the no secrets and almost giving up the bit a little bit.
Yeah, I think that was like when I was making the record and showing it to people, and then like for a second people would be like, oh, this is like a Chanel bead sound, and for a second I was like kind of flattered, and I was like, oh, I gotta like protect my sauce a little bit. Yeah. But then it was like, well, if this is all I can do is this one sound on this one record, then that sucks. So I should just like, I don't know, maybe it's like kind of narcissistic or something to like think that far ahead, but like I was like, oh, I should just like lay it out.
So Chanel Beads has an EP that's on streaming from, I think, what is it, 2018? It's called Allure?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
at the time, was Chanel Beads like a solo project at the time, or were you thinking of it more as a conventional band?
Chanel, it's kind of like when we signed a record deal, we had to have like months of conversations about is Chanel Beads a band or not, because I don't. It kind of goes back to that thing of like ignoring all, of the modern context we put things, just ignoring those distinctions, because like it's not a band and it's not really a solo project, but it just like it kind of exists on my computer and I write all the music. Yeah. And then if there's things that I think other people can do better, or if there's something that I'm like I can't fill this hole in the track, then like have someone come in and do it. And it's usually just, I mean, it's pretty much just Maya and Zach are the, like my the two people that I'm like would go to first. I mean, I think Maya's got like an amazing voice
for sure,
and like there's almost never a song where I'm like, let's not get your voice on the on here in some way. We like layer our voices on top of each other almost every song. So I don't know, like in 2018, that was just me. That was actually the first time Zach and I collaborated, and it was before I met Maya.
Oh wow.
So Zach like played violin on the song Male Friendship. Chanel Beads has just been like, the easiest way to say it is it's on my computer.
Yeah, you've described your working relationship with Maya as just like your music is what's on your computer and her music as Cole is just what's on her computer, but it's kind of this constant exchange of ideas and collaboration.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference is she sets her mouse speed higher than mine, so whenever I try to help her on her stuff, I'm like, wait, where's the mouse?
And I didn't realize that Zach was playing on that first EP until you just said that now.
Yeah, I think I kind of often forget, because I don't think about that EP very much, but I forget how long back our... I mean, we know each other from high school, so we've...
So yeah. Were you living in Seattle when you made that EP?
Yeah.
And Zach just played on the one track, yeah?
Yeah, and then this was back in the day where I was like, how do you put stuff on Spotify? Because I just kept putting stuff on SoundCloud.
And so he played on this track, what was that, 6-7 years ago now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a long time.
How close behind were you guys and each other moving to New York?
He moved like kind of start of the pandemic. Or not start, like... he moved probably like a year before us. But he had more New York roots than us. And we played like a year of Chanel Beads shows in New York without him. And then we're like, wait, why don't you start? Because I kept sending him, I mean, we lived so close to each other, but I would just like send him tracks and he would record violin. And then like, we weren't doing things like in person. We were just like drinking and eating food in person. And then we're like, why don't we like actually do this in the same room and play shows together?
I wish Zach could have been here. I would have loved to have him a part of this interview.
Yeah.
Because I think he's become a really integral part of the band and the sound, and especially your live show. Do you feel... Like last night, it was just Shane and Maya performing without Zach. Do you feel almost like a piece of the puzzle's missing when you don't have him with you? Or do you see it as kind of like an amorphous?
Well, I mean, he's like, it's funny, like the best way to answer like how like goated Zach is that like people see us play and then like, I mean, he's going to grad school now for social work, and so he's very busy, but he's still making it work a lot. I'm like really grateful that he'll like get off school and then take a bus to go play a show with us. But when people like find out like that, like at the label or whatever that we're on, when they find out Zach's not playing a show, they're like, oh, well, let me introduce you to like another violin player. And it's like, it just kind of like kismet that Zach plays violin and I really like the violin like preset sounds, and so they can kind of commingle. Because we collaborate with Zach because of his approach to music and his like ability to improvise and like his kind of temperament with like what. So Zach does, like, if Zach's violin hand stopped working, he would still be on stage collaborating with us in a different capacity. Like, it's like we, like, I don't know, like, so that's, I think, the best way to like talk about how Zach's like importance to us is like I think he adds a lot of spontaneity and like it's always like a fine line between like how like big and dramatic you want to make the music. And I feel like he, while like kind of maintaining that, I feel like, I don't know, I'm kind of talking about 10 things at once here, but it's like he just walks that perfect line of like, okay, the emotion is the compelling aspect of like the emotion we're trying to convey is that it feels like these big feelings that you don't know how to broach without like feeling like a little bit stupid, so you kind of like undercut yourself constantly, like, and I feel like he perfectly understands musically how to like execute that approach that I'm trying to do as well.
Totally. I'm gonna play now the track Male Friendship, which was the first collaboration between Shane and Zach, and then we're gonna take a little ad break and come back and play one of my favorite tracks from the album, Your Day Will Come, the closing song, I Think I Saw. We'll be right back with some more of this interview. Enjoy the tracks.
Thank you.
Hey, you're listening to Psychic Ceremony here on CJLO 1690 AM. Thanks for tuning in. Tonight I've been airing snippets from an exclusive interview my friend and frequent collaborator Owen got from the band Chanel Beads yesterday in the car as they were driving to Toronto. Very exciting. The track I just played was I Think I Saw, which was from the latest Chanel Beads album, Your Day Will Come, came out April 19th, 2024 on Jag Jaguar. And before that, we heard Male Friendship from the Zoodolores EP from 2018. And now let's get back to the interview.
We're back in the car with Chanel Beads, having a conversation about their music, their touring, and their creative process. I wanted to ask you about kind of just what you've been listening to, and what's been catching your ears lately. Has there been anything sticking out?
Right now I've been listening to a lot of we're gonna play a show with him, but I've been listening to a lot of Fear Dorian stuff. I feel like he's just got like a perfect approach to like, I don't know, like he makes music that's just like, yeah, like it's perfectly like high energy and like, I don't know, it's like music that you can listen to it in 10 different contexts and it feels good.
Where are you guys playing a show together?
We're playing with Fear Dorian October 19th, I think, at Elsewhere in Brooklyn, New York.
What would you say some of like the most formative music is in your like creative DNA? Is there anything that you think has really left fingerprints on the Chanel Beads project, whether consciously or subconsciously?
Well, definitely like a lot of radio from when I was like a kid. I think there is like a lot of, I was just kind of thinking about this recently. There's a lot of like kind of adult contemporary from like the early 2000s that feels kind of like fresh today and like a, without being like super beloved, and like I don't think there's like a renaissance for like David Gray or people like that, but like it kind of feels like I'm just kind of have recently been like, oh wait, yeah, I did listen to that a lot. And I know there definitely is for like Tracy Chapman, but yeah, I feel like the way people describe the, like the way we sing on the record, it kind of was reminding me of the way that I felt about Tracy Chapman as like a kid.
Interesting.
Of like, because when you're a kid and like there's this radio playing, you like identify these songs, but you only identify them by like, you don't know the name of the artist or like even the song half the time, and you like never know them as a, because you're just like in your parents' car or something.
Yeah,
I don't know, that kind of mystery around when I heard the Tracy Chapman music is really cool.
Yeah, I feel like Tracy Chapman has a really androgynous voice that's really really intriguing, and it kind of pulls you in, and her storytelling really complements that, or well, I should say her voice really complements her storytelling. I feel like the Chanel Beads songs also have this really interesting androgynous vocal sound, but kind of achieved through different means. Is that something you kind of do consciously, or do you think that that's just how it kind of has come out?
I don't think it was super conscious. Like, I just sang, a lot of people like use the word like manipulation stuff with like the voice, but it's not really manipulated that much. We just use auto-tune, and then I sing like in a higher register, and Maya sings in kind of one of her lower registers together, so that just kind of like creates a weird effect.
For sure. It has this really kind of like childlike feel to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, maybe. I realized, yeah, that a lot of the lyrics are kind of like reassessing your life, and a lot of that has to do with what happened when you're a kid, so.
Yeah.
I think that just kind of bled in a little bit. I don't know, I'm a bad critic or gauge of like what I sound like.
Do you think of Chanel Beads equally as an exercise in production and songwriting, or do you think of yourself more as a songwriter or a producer first?
I definitely approach the music from the song first. Ideally, when you're working on something, it doesn't really feel like you're like choosing, making choices. So I think, like, if you just start with like kind of like an underlying idea or like philosophy around the music, like I'd like it, not wanting to kind of ignore like any kind of like distinctions and contexts, so that you don't have to be like, oh, I guess, yeah, I was just trying to make like the opposite of mashup music, if that makes sense. Yeah. So it's kind of like, it's really hard to say if it's like producer first or songwriter first, because it's almost like, yeah, I don't know.
Is there any specific era or style of production that you think has really influenced how you approach bringing these Chanel Beads songs to life?
Yeah, probably just like modern stuff. Like I got really inspired when I think I heard like a Surf Gang song where like the 808 was clipping in this like digital way that I was like, I'm always trying to avoid that, and I feel like I'm making a song weaker by the way that I'm like avoiding that. And I was like, oh, I don't have to compromise. So I think there's a lot of uncompromising production choices now that are really inspiring to me. Of like, oh, if it does sound better, like I think a lot of like dance music people will say like, oh, it sounds better when you leave the metronome on. Like when like on a click.
Yeah, like and keeping it on the grid.
Yeah. And like, or like even just like having that like playing over the song. Sometimes okay. Like sounds better.
Have you done that on any of your songs?
No, but okay. But I mean, kind of, I guess, because like you'll just put in a sound that's like that, and it's not actually the metronome, yeah, but it like yeah, functions totally. Like it, yeah. So I think, yeah, I think there's a lot of, I think the rule book was thrown out a long time ago, but people are kind of just realizing that, and maybe I'm one of the people who are just now realizing.
Well, do you wanna pick a song real quick, and we can take another ad break? Any of those speaking to you right now?
There's a new song that just came out. There's one. It's Nourished by Time, Evil Gianni, and Goner, called Instant Death.
Okay, great. We're gonna throw that on, and then take another break, and we'll be right back.
This is Shane from Chanel Beads. Thank you.
The Shuffle, Concordia's annual fundraising walkathon, is back Friday, September 20th for its 35th edition. It's a chance for people from the Concordia community to raise money for scholarships, bursaries, and services across the university landscape. The Shuffle has raised more than $2.7 million since 1990 to give Concordia students the tools and resources they need for success. Visit advancedconcordia.ca/shuffle35 to get involved. Set a fundraising goal and meet it by Shuffle Day. If you raise more than $50 or $25 for students, you'll be entered into our prize draw and you'll get your own Shuffle shirt. You can also join up with a team and choose where the money you raise goes. Once again, visit advancedconcordia.ca/shuffle35 to get involved.
Ashes to Ashes is your home for modern pop in all of its forms, whether it be synth pop, hyper pop, ambient pop, or anything else ending in pop. Along with Bops, the show features interviews and performances from an always growing list of emerging and established pop artists from both the local Montreal music scene and abroad. So tune in at 7 p.m. every Tuesday on CJLO 1690 AM and CJLO.com.
This is Cole. You're listening to CJLO.
Okay, we are back in the car with Chanel Beads on our way to Toronto. And we've only got two mics here. Maya's behind the wheel right now. And we're gonna talk about the Cole Project, which is Maya's solo effort. Obviously, like Shane said, with much collaboration there. But yeah, you've been playing more shows recently, and it looks like Cole's evolving into a band. Is that correct?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I feel like I've been like trying to experiment with the idea of having a band, but it's only so far felt best when it's just me and like more of a performance art piece. With that approach rather than having a four piece or, you know, I don't know. And I'm also trying to avoid just having like, oh, a cello player, a violinist that adds to it. That'll be cool one day, but it feels like everybody's doing that. So yeah, right now it's just me.
And so you've had a couple singles coming out recently over the last year. And I believe you're working on an LP in the future.
Yeah.
How are you feeling? Are you? Yeah. Is it coming along well?
Yeah, I think these songs that are coming out, I've sat on for too long.
Yeah.
Classic. So I like don't actually. I don't feel that great. But because of that, it's actually just like put me into this. Really kind of urgent state of making new music. I just like, because it's coming out in November, and I'm like, I need to write a new album to follow up immediately, because I can't have that be out and the only thing that people listen to. So I don't know, it's exciting, but it's also scary, you know.
For sure. Have you been recording lots of acoustic instruments and using lots of microphones, or has it been more of a laptop project like many of the Chanel Beads songs are like created as?
It's kind of approached similarly to Chanel Beads. I feel like we lay down the tracks on our laptop in Ableton, but we definitely use acoustic instruments to add on top of everything. Yeah, it's kind of a mixture. I really, really feel like I can't make a fully acoustic song. I'm too obsessed with synths, you know?
And I think you mentioned that you were doing some recordings with like an acoustic drummer for this record, or was that something else?
No, I haven't had anyone add. I had a drummer for a live set.
Oh, okay.
Not for recording, no. Everything is sampled right now.
And you're doing DJ sets still semi-regularly in and around New York, right?
Yeah.
And when you are DJing, do you like think of that as an extension of like the Cole Project and the universe, or is it just like, how do you see yourself as a DJ, and how does it relate to the music that you make?
It's definitely an extension. I feel like I'm trying to find my own style with it. And recently I go back and forth where I try to do more dance music, but I kind of do better with ambient pop kind of mixes, and utilizing it as like an instrument. So playing songs on top of each other a lot is like my favorite thing to do. And I feel like that's what my project does a lot, is it has this dance influence, but it also has like, that's the acoustic elements of me trying to mix dance with like a traditional song, singer-songwriter stuff. That's like my favorite music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What music has really left its mark on you and the Cole Project? Is there anything that you kind of have as a staple when you play DJ sets that you think really can like be traced back to the DNA of Cole?
That's like a really hard question, because I feel like I don't really know what drew me to, I feel like I've always been making music, so it's like hard to answer that. Yeah. The songs, when I hear songs that put, like I'm pretty influenced by music, like that, you know, hits me in that moment, then I go make music.
Yeah.
And it's usually a feeling, not usually like a specific artist, but I don't know. Obviously I have like a list of inspirations, but I don't like to tie it to the project. I don't know. I try to like approach it pretty neutral, if that makes sense too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I tell Shane all the time, I don't listen to a lot of music. I tell a lot of people that, but it kind of feels true. Like I spend most of my days in silence, and then when I'm making music, it's like, it's more of like, I really, really need to put down this release of feeling. And I actually am more of like into the philosophy of like my environment and the sounds that it makes around me is influencing the music I'm making.
Yeah.
In the sense of like, that's just what music is intrinsically.
For sure.
And so when my friends and Shane or anyone around me is playing songs that I'm like, oh, I love that. Like, I love that project. I'm not like actually listening to it on my own, because I just don't listen to music. But because it's been played and I know the music, it's like somehow already influenced my way of releasing in my like own sonic world, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Is there a Cole song you'd like to play? We can throw one on right now and then take another quick break and come right back.
Green Edge.
Green Edge. All right.
I really like that
we'll
song.
Be right back. Don't touch that dial.
Thank you.
how did you get into making music? Did you primarily start with an instrument, or did you explore through digital means first?
Yeah, it was like classic garage band.
Yeah.
You know? I started playing guitar. There was a lot of music growing up from my dad, but I wouldn't say I was encouraged to make music, but he really wanted, like, there was like an emphasis growing up to make a hit song kind of thing. So I feel like for a while I was like in GarageBand tinkering and trying to make songs, but they just like came out as surf rock and it was awful.
Okay.
And so that's like how I started.
And when did you decide that you wanted to start releasing music?
When I saw that it was a thing. I literally like did not think I could make art or be a musician. And then I like met people who were putting out music that were peers. And I was like, wait, I can maybe do that, you know?
For sure. Were you involved in any projects before Cole and Chanel Beads? Have you played in bands?
No.
Okay. And when did you release your first song?
There were SoundCloud songs.
Yeah.
But like officially like on all streaming platforms kind of thing.
Yeah.
For now. When was that, Shane? Like 2019? Was
for
it?
Now.
Yeah.
That was like 2020,
2021?
2020,
yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. That was deep
pandemic.
Deep pandemic.
That is a pandemic EP for sure.
Well, thank you so much, Shane and Maya, for doing this interview. I'm really thrilled about the album, and I'm glad you guys are on tour. If they are coming to your city and you're not based in Montreal listening to this online, make an effort to go. The West Coast shows are coming up next month and have great support acts. The East Coast shows are on right now. Also all have incredible support acts. So go listen to Chanel Beads, check the record out. I'm gonna play you guys out with one last song from it. This is gonna be one that Maya sings, Idea June. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.